Well, we're wrapping up Romans. I have one more after this. I've titled this one, How to Pray with Your Open Eyes. How to Pray with Open Eyes. And as we finish Romans, it's just about after this, four more Romans messages. As we finish Romans, it's been a great book. A lot of people are so confused about Romans. They really are confused. Because they think, well, Romans is this, and the book of James is that, and they contradict. The book of James was written to Christians. They don't contradict. They're not talking about salvation. I'm doing a commentary now on the book of James. I'm about a quarter of the way through. After the Grace Conference, I'll start working very diligently again on it. But the book of James is very clear, very clear. It's about people serving after they're saved. Romans is how to be saved. And it's fabulous. It's so fabulous. And we've had the series, Not Ashamed. Are you not ashamed? Do you stand up? Do you stand? I had a member of our church share with me that the boss refers all the time to this person because of the religious beliefs. And it gives an opportunity to share the religious beliefs with everyone else. Now, not being ridiculed, no. But such a strong testimony that the whole place knows this person has a strong testimony. Point one is Paul's prayer through his heart. Oh, I love this. He's going to talk from his heart. You know how many times. And then the next time I preach Romans, right before the Grace Conference, I tell you what, it was the hardest Romans I've ever prepared. It's so hard. Oh, it has a lot of hard names, but that's not what was hard. It's very few messages have ever been preached on Romans 16, 1 through 16. But I'll tell you something. If you're down and discouraged, you do not want to miss Romans 16, 1 through 16. You do not want to miss it if you're discouraged. If you have to miss one, miss this one. That's awful, isn't it, when I say that? Romans 15, 17, and 18. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I dare not speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. Wow. You know who's a Gentile? A Gentile is anyone that's not a Jew. There's some Jewish people here that know Christ, praise God. But most of you are old, stinking, wicked Gentiles. But in Christ, we're all equal. Rich, poor, whatever shade of brown you are, we don't say red, yellow, black, and white. We just say whatever shade of brown because we're all, none of us are truly white. No one is truly black. No one, we're all different shades of brown, according to Ken Ham. And that's true. There is no race except the human race. We're all united. Praise God. It doesn't matter if you're extremely rich or extremely poor. We're all the same in Christ, and I love that. You know, I stand in awe sometimes. How could God send His Son to die? And then number two, how could He save a wicked person like Jim Scudder? When you read that book of mine, you're going to say, how did all this happen? How did all the miracles happen? How did you start in a storefront? And how did you get to here? Well, there's only one answer to that. It's God. Only God could do that through us. Now, God doesn't do anything that we don't do. God never makes my bed for me. God never has made my bed. I prayed, Lord, wouldn't it be nice if you could make the bed? Wouldn't it be nice if you take out the trash? Does God have the power to do those things? Of course He does. Does He? Of course He doesn't. Why? Because He wants us to have the blessing of taking out the trash. Isn't that a blessing? You take it out, it stinks. You dump it in a can that stinks. You take it to the garbage truck that stinks. And they take it to a landfill that stinks. But isn't it a blessing to take it out? Why is it a blessing? Because if you didn't, your house would smell. You don't want your house smelling, I don't think. But see, Paul is now going to speak through his heart. He's going to tell us his heart. And what was his heart? His heart were for all these people. That was Paul's heart. And he loved the people. You're going to see the next time I preach about the love for the people. He loved the people. He was a people person. Are you a people person? Are you a hide from everybody person? What are you? You can become a people person if you want to be a people person. And he says, I may glory. That word glory is the same word for boasting. Well, you're not supposed to boast. Oh, yes, you are. You can't boast about yourself, but you can boast about God. There's nothing wrong with saying, what has God done at Quinton Road through myself and through Pastor Jim and Pastor Paul and all of you? Some of you have been here from the beginning. And what has God done? How have we reached the world? How has it happened? But God did it. God did it. I was coming out of Sam's in Port Charlotte, Florida. I was with my wife. And this very extremely dignified man came up. And he says, are you Dr. Scudder? I said, yes, sir. He said, I watch you every Sunday on the church channel. I said, well, thanks for coming up. Thanks for coming up. And I said to my wife, how could that be? Oh, I'm not like Dr. Stanley where thousands come up. But how could anybody come up? I don't know. But God did it. Boy, God did it. And I can boast because everything that happened here happened because God did it. Now, if we didn't do our job, God wouldn't have done it. Just like God doesn't make your bed for you. Has God ever made the bed for any of you? Just raise your hand. Has God ever taken the trash out for any of you? Well, don't you hear those preachers say, God can do anything. God will make you a millionaire. Get rid of the demon of poverty. I heard one of them say that Jesus owned 3 homes. I said, what? He didn't own any homes. He said, I don't have a place to lay my head. He didn't own a home. He had nothing. He had nothing. I was reading a story about a preacher in this area. And he, according to the story now, he didn't deny it. He makes $600,000 a year. Wow. That's what you call dedication. $600,000 a year? Now, maybe it's not true. But I haven't seen it retracted. What in the world? What are we here for? Are we here for money? Are we here for Christ? $600,000 a year. Man, that's a lot of money. Now, if you got up and said, I make $600,000 a year, that'd be boasting. But if you got up and said, everything that's ever been done, God did it. That's the right kind of boasting. If you're a great basketball or volleyball or whatever player, and you say, everything I am, I did it through God. God did it through me. That's not boasting. But if you said, I did it, I did it. I heard a preacher say once, and it scared me so bad, I knew him real well, and he said, anyone that gives any credit to the Holy Spirit for what's happened here is wrong. What happened here is because of what I did, not the Holy Spirit. And I tell you what, I heard that, and I didn't even want to go shake the guy's hand. I didn't want to be part of the zap. Because God does everything through us, but we can't do anything without Him. In 1 Corinthians 1:31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You know, we're going to celebrate our independence this week. We're going to, well, not legally in Illinois. Some of you are probably going to shoot some fireworks. Be careful. But you won't do it legally. Illinois allows everything but fireworks. It's okay. Gay marriage. Boy, it's just, oh man. But if you're born with a gene, it's not your fault, then we will all support it. But there's no scientific evidence ever. That was a lie when it was printed, and it's still a lie today. There is no evidence you're born with a gene. If you're born with a gene, throw out the Word of God, because every time the Word of God talks about it, it's in a negative form. If it's born with a gene, we might as well toss our Bibles out. If you're not making choices, toss your Bibles out. But when we shoot those fireworks, do you know they had fireworks in the early days to celebrate our great country the greatest country that God has ever allowed on the face of the earth. And when you see the fireworks, don't just think of fireworks. Think of this great nation, our independence. This following Sunday, this coming Sunday, at the Cape Baptist Church, we're giving the Cape Baptist their independence, where they will be totally out from under our church. Why were they ever under your church? Because we started the church. That's why. And they didn't have people that were ready, or we didn't know who was ready. They may have had some, but we had to find out. So we had to be their board. But on July 7th, we're going to have a great day. We're going to have a big ribbon. And all the elders and myself will walk down with a pair of scissors, and we're going to cut the ribbon, and the Cape Baptist Church will have its independence. Isn't that pretty neat? Right after Independence Day, they have their independence. I think that's pretty neat. I really do. I really, really do. Glory in the Lord. There was a lady, and her daughter was real sick. Have y'all ever had that? You know, your kids are sick. The daughter was about 14. She had a real high fever. She called her doctor, and doctor prescribed something. So she went to the drugstore. She was so nervous. She was so afraid of the high fever. And she got to the drugstore, got the medicine, and came out and locked her keys in her car. Left the car running. The keys were in the car. Those days, they could lock it. Nowadays, they've got a lot of dummy systems in there to keep you from being a dummy. If your keys are in there, it won't usually lock. But in that day, it did. And she cried, God, oh God, I can't leave my daughter. I can't get in the car. Please, God, send someone. And right as soon as she got through praying, the meanest looking man that ever faced this earth, he came up on a motorcycle. He had a big Harley, the biggest Harley that you can buy. He was smoking a Skokie cigar. What's wrong, woman? And she was kind of scared. Said, I need to get in my car. No problem. He takes a coat hanger. In about 15 seconds, she's in her car. She said, thank you. I just prayed to God. You know what God sent to you, lady? I just got out of prison. And she looked at him. She said, God sent me a professional. See, you don't care if you're in a mess what the person looks like, do you? I don't care. You know, Florida's got a lot of motorcycle gangs. I mean, bad gangs. When I see them, I look to see if they're the bad gang or they're just a bunch of midlife crisis. If they're midlife crisis, you can tell real quick because they look wimpy. But those motorcycle gangs, man, they don't look wimpy. Boy, when I see the real gangs, I drive so careful. I don't drive too fast. I don't drive too slow. I never pass them. If you're stupid enough to pass a motorcycle gang, you deserve to be killed. I mean, you don't have the brain God gave a goose. And a goose doesn't have a very good brain. So you glory through Christ. Don't you get excited about what God's done in your life? Do you get excited? Do you get excited about coming to church? But Paul was the minister. And if you're excited about local things and you glory in your work and in your money or in your house, if you glory in anything that's not eternal, you don't get it. He said, but I love what God's done and I'm rich. Well, you better not be that way, because you better say, I glory in what God has done because He's made me a soul winner. Made me a soul winner. There was a person that called yesterday. And my daughter, granddaughter, Cuppy, took the call. And the guy says, I don't like what Dr. Scudder said. He said, if you once take the mark of the beast, you can't be saved. And you can't be. You can be saved any other time, but after the mark of the beast, you can't be saved. That's during the tribulation time, because they know exactly what they're doing. And when they take the mark of the beast, they know they're going against God. And he said, I totally disagree with that. And she says, well, let's discuss it. And he said, I don't want to discuss it. Well, then why did you call? If you're not going to discuss it, why did you call? Waste your time and my time If you don't want to discuss it, don't call. That's what I call a boaster. It really is. Do you ever know a pastor that's not in it for the right reason? He's in it because he's proud and he wants to boast. You know, we've ordained many people, and most of them take it humbly. But one time we had one that wasn't so humble and was telling people they weren't showing enough respect. I brought him in. I said, let me tell you something. No one's going to show respect until you earn respect. No one's going to give you respect because you were ordained. They're going to give you respect when you earn it. You better do that. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Do you ever glory in your infirmities? When things don't go right, do you ever glory? Do you ever have to pray a prayer that you don't even want to pray? Well, you need to learn to do it. He said the Gentiles were made obedient in the word and deed. Why? Because Paul lived his life correctly before them. Now, you're never going to see a perfect preacher. I'm certainly not perfect. There's nobody in this church that's perfect. There never will be. But God still says, obey those that have authority over you and the Lord in everything. You know, some people never get counsel from their pastor. They get counsel from everybody, but not their pastor, because they know what their pastor might say, so they don't want to get counsel. Are you that way? Well, if you are, you're not going to be blessed of God. You're not going to be blessed of God. You say, well, I'm following God. No, you're not. No, you're not. If you don't get counsel. Paul was trying to get healed, and God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Here's the Apostle Paul, and he could not get healed. Do you see that? Do you get that? True humility is not convincing yourself and others that you're humble. That's not humility. What is true humility? When I hear people say, I'm humble. I remember one of the early members of our church, his picture's in the book, and he said, one problem I don't have is pride. And he thought he didn't have pride. He really thought he didn't have pride. When you say that, you're proud. One problem I don't have pride. I know my child would never lie. Oh, really? I know mine did. Yours don't? Wow. The first perfect human next to Christ, your child. Well, I don't mean it that way. Well, what way do you mean it? Well, not that way. Well, which way do you mean it? Well, they don't even know which way they mean it. See, true humility is not saying you're humble. True humility is realizing the greatness of God. You get that? Do you get the greatness of God? How great our God is? Do you get that? I shared, I think, Wednesday about this buck that comes in my backyard, this deer. And I mean, my heart just, I just think they're so beautiful. They're a bunch of muscle. And it comes in, and it looks right in my window, but it has a tent on it. And the tent, it sees itself. And it's looking at itself. And I don't know if it knows it's itself or they think there's a buck that lives in the house. I don't really know that answer. But it stares. It doesn't fight. But it always stares. Maybe it's admiring. Wow, I'm a pretty good-looking deer. But pure humility is not looking in the mirror and saying, I'm a pretty good-looking person. True humility is we have the greatest God, and He created the heavens and the earth, and He is a great God. And you say that I don't believe in evolution. How could anybody truly believe? But all the scientists say it now, don't they? Not all, but the vast majority do. And they say we're having global warming. I guess you might believe that out in the desert right now. I tell you what, I'll teach you to move to the desert. Wow. I don't know what I'd do with 119 degree temperature. I'd be dead. I'd get out of the car and I'd die before I got to the next air conditioner. I couldn't live. You say, oh, you couldn't. No, I couldn't. I don't want to try either. I don't want to try. In Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. You know, on Friday nights we have our addictions program called RU. Every Friday night, we're going to have the the ribs this Friday night and everybody's so excited about it. But what if this verse wasn't in the Bible? The grace of God bringeth salvation doth appear to all men. What if you were a Calvinist? And Jim Boyce gets up and he says, I'm so glad y'all came out. And if one of you happen to be of the elect, you have a chance to be saved. But the rest of you are going to hell forever because you were born with the wrong gene and you're going to hell. Boy, wouldn't that be a great RU? Well, there wouldn't be an RU. There would be no RU because you wouldn't believe that it would be even possible to try to find out who's the predestined. I call it predestelected. Well, who are they? No, aren't you glad? Bring a salvation that appeared to all men. Everyone can be saved. Aren't you happy about that? You better be happy about that. I was preparing for my grace conference, and I do a lot of listening to messages. So I saw this one, and it was a Calvinist. And he really thought he was intelligent. And he said, these Baptists have such a low IQ, they cannot understand the Bible. Now, did that bother me? No, it doesn't bother me at all. Anybody so stupid to believe that you can't be saved because of the way you were born doesn't make me feel envious of them. And then he said this. This is shocking. He's a missionary in Russia. He said, I'm the only missionary in all of Russia that is a five-point Calvinist. Really? He's the only one dumb enough. If you're a five-point Calvinist, why would you go? And he said, most of them don't go because they say you're going to be saved anyway, so why would we go? But even if you do get saved anyway, you have to endure to the end, and no one knows if they really are saved because they don't know if they're going to endure. Not only do you not have a choice, but you have to endure. And he's the only one. That's what he said. I don't know if that's true, but that's what he said. He's the only one because, well, you say, why do I go? Why do I go to Russia if we don't believe you have a choice? He said, because God says, take the gospel to all the nations, and I'm taking it to all the nations. Give me a break. You're taking it to all the nations, but you don't believe everybody can be saved. If I believed in Calvinism and I believed that you couldn't be saved, I wouldn't preach. Oh, yes. No, I wouldn't. I preach because I believe I'm in a real battle. I believe that we're fighting for real souls. We have a Bible college so we can train students to fight for souls. Some people, they don't care about that. They really don't. They only care about what they think is right, not to try to win souls. That's why we have it. We had all the not all, some of them don't like hockey, but we had a lot of them over that like hockey, to my house on Monday night. They are louder. Our boys are louder than every ball game I've ever been in the history of mankind when the Hawks got those 2 points in 18 or 17 seconds. I have never heard such yelling, screaming, and I was leading the way. I was excited. Man, was I excited. I bought all my grandkids shirts. Say Blackhawks. I never do that. I've never bought a Cubs shirt. Well, you can see why. I guess if they ever won, I'd be excited. We're barely only 3 or 4 games above the White Sox because they're both doing bad. They're both disgraceful. Can't help that. God says you can do nothing with nothing. You can do a little bit. Look at John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He abideth in me and I in him. The same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You can't do a little bit, and you can do nothing. If you really don't believe that God's going to lead your life, you can do nothing. Not a little bit, you can do nothing. Everything I can do. There's some of you that think there's no way could you ever be a preacher. Friends, I got news for you. If I can be a preacher, you can be a preacher. In history of earth, there's probably never a student that hated school more than I did. And our kids, oh, I'm sure they like summer vacation and they love it. But our kids really like school. Compared to me, in comparison, they really do like school. They really do like school. I've got a picture of my principal in this book. I love Dr. Munsler. He was All-American in basketball and volleyball. I didn't know about the basketball. The boldness of Christ, point two. Romans 15:19, though many signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Illyricum, that's quite a name, isn't it? Mighty signs, same as miracles, through the power of the Spirit. Any preacher that gets up and says he did it by himself and not through the Spirit is not a person who believes their Bible. We can do nothing on our own. A miracle is called a wonder. It's a wonder. You all know and remember, many of you, when we built that last, the building that connected to this building, and they were calling for rain. I said, we can't stop. Bring the trucks. Pastor's going to have to pay. And it was raining. And it circled our property. And it circled and it rained. And the truck drivers were getting out. And they were falling on their knees when they got to our property. And they'd say, this would make a believer out of an atheist. Did you hear that the atheists put up their first statue in Florida right next to the Ten Commandments? I'm serious. They put up a statue for atheism. They can put all the statues they want if we can put up the Ten Commandments. Because nobody believes that you could be an atheist. I mean, you'd have to be a Looney Tunes. And I looked at that statue. It's pretty weird. It looks like a bald-headed man. It really does. It really looks weird. Nothing wrong with bald-headed man. Nothing wrong with that. But it looks weird. And I don't care they put it up. Well, that offends me. It doesn't offend me. Because you let us put up the Ten Commandments. You put up all your man alive. Wouldn't it be awful if you're an atheist and you want the Blackhawks to win? You don't have anybody to pray to. Now, God's not going to help you win because you pray because of a ball game. Believe me. There were everybody in Boston. No, they don't really pray in Boston. Maybe they weren't praying. Do you see it? I'm going to skip the next verse. Romans 1:16, our verse that we use. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth, the Jews first and also the Greeks. Do you see that? Look at Mark 16:20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Why don't we still have signs? Now, are there still miracles today? Yes. But why don't we have miracles like the preacher brings you up and does miracles? Or he does this and everybody falls backward. There's no row that everybody doesn't fall backward. And then they've always got the last row to catch them. I don't know how they know the last row. They all just... Why don't we do that? Because the whole Bible is written today. We don't need to do that. Amen? That's what it is. That's truthfully what it is. And then I've ended the point three with Paul, the man of character. Paul had character. Don't you like people with character? Don't you love people that have character? Is character important? You may not have liked George Bush, but George Bush was a man of character. If he told you something, you could go to the bank with it. I remember Congressman Crane, who used to come to our church, and he said one time he was standing by President Clinton. And he heard President Clinton tell a person, yes, I will support that. And three people later, someone else had the opposite thing, and he said, yes, I'll support that. Wow. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Pathological liar. If you say something, you should mean it, and it should mean what you say. I have strived the gospel. Not where Christ was nameless, I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was spoken that you shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Now listen, friends, that doesn't mean that you can't go somewhere that someone else has ever been. This was Paul, and his job was to reach the Gentiles, and his job was to go to the world. And he wanted to go places that it had never been named before. He was an itinerant preacher. If he traveled today, he would be part of, quote, the Diamond Club. You know, I have a preferred boarding, but I'm the last of the preferred boarding. They have everybody before me. By the time I get on, half the plane's full, but they still call it preferred. So one time, I decided I was going to see if they'd just not notice. Don't ever try that, friends. because they do notice. They said, "Sir, you don't have this boarding. You have the lowest of our preferred boarding." And they told everybody I had the lowest. So I had to get out of line and look like a fool. I wanted to get on there because by the time you get on, there's nowhere to put your overhead bag. I wanted to get on that plane because now if you sneeze, they give you preferred boarding. And by the time you get on, there's nothing left. Pretty soon, there'll only be about 3 people don't have preferred boarding. I have rude people just get in front of me. They don't care. They don't care. And that's not good. Not good. Well, he strived, and he wanted to preach the gospel wherever he could, and that's what he wanted to do. Paul had a plan for his ministry. If you don't have a plan for your life, if you don't plan and you fail to plan, you will never succeed. He had a plan. What's your plan? How about some of you students? What's your plan? So I'm not sure. Is your plan, though, to reach as many for Christ as you can? What's your plan? What's your plan? A little girl got real upset, and she came running in. And she, now these names are coincidental, and don't let it worry you if I use a name. And she said, "Bobby hit me, and I want you to punish him." And the mother said, "Bobby couldn't have hit you because he's with his dad in town." The little girl looked at mom and said, "Mom, the state of affairs is so bad that it can happen without your little brother." She said, "This is a rough world." Well, let me tell you something, friends. How to pray with open eyes. Be careful when you pray and keep your eyes open and pray that God will give you strength to witness to people. Do you see that? You see that? Please do that. Please do that. But look at Ephesians 3:9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Do you get that? Do you get that? I'm going to use my book because it tells about my life to represent sin. And I want this to be sin. I want this hand to be you and me. But we all have sin. If you go to heaven, you can't have any sin. Well, how are you going to get to heaven if you can't have any sin? How are you going to get there if you can't have sin? How will you get there if you can't have sin? Because Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:21, who knew no sin, was made sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. You get that? You see that? I love you, but I hate your sin. He who never sinned was made sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. Do you get that? And God now sees you and me through Christ. Don't you like to share that? It's not hard. It's so easy. You'll just get to know these people. We were out last night, and I met this kid, and I started kidding with him. He had his thumb taped up. I said, "What happened to your thumb? You didn't try to commit suicide, did you?" No. "I cut it cutting vegetables." Well, I was kidding him, and he kind of laughed. And then I was able to give him the gospel and give him a track because he liked me. You just go up to people, they're going to throw most of them down. You need to get favorable attention. But you go to heaven not because of your works. You go to heaven because Christ paid it all. And if He paid it all, we don't have to pay it. Isn't that great? Isn't that the greatest thing you have ever seen? Man, He paid it, and God now sees me through Christ. Isn't that good news? I get excited about that. I know I'm going to heaven. "These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know," 1 John 5:13, "that you have eternal life." Do you know it or do you think it? Maybe. If you hope so, then you don't know so. If you hope so, you're not going to make it. Only when you know so. You say, "But I'm not good enough." Friends, if I got saved, God could save any of us. Isn't that great news? "Well, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough." None of us are good enough, but Christ was good enough. Isn't that great? Isn't that the greatest thing?